together and bless God one more time. Thank God for melodies of praise and for their ministry to us today. I love the bass line. Felt that bass down in your belly. Anybody knows what I'm talking about? Oh, I don't know about you, but I like good music. And versatility, variety. I appreciate variety. And so I love my temple choir. I love melodies of praise. I love OC Square. I love all of it. And I think it's important. I love the babies. I love the children. I think it's important that we have this vast variety of music. Now, I'm looking for an old-time foot-stomping gospel choir. You got to put some Mississippi on it. Can I get a witness, somebody? Everybody's on their feet going side to side. Down home. Come on, somebody. Get mama from Mississippi, Mass. I don't mind if I do, I must tell you. Somebody say, where you from? You from down south? I say, I'm from South Clarendon, Jamaica. But I got a little Alabama in me. Got a little Alabama in there. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And so today we want to talk to you on the subject, how to handle toxic people. How to handle toxic people. Go with me now in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4, verses 28 to 32. Ephesians 4, 28. And if you don't mind standing on your feet with me as we read the word of God together. We will look also at Colossians chapter 3 in the midst of our sermonic discourse. Ephesians 4, the Bible says in verse 28, let him still, but rather working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. The next verse. Let no, come on, I want you to say that one more time. Let, but to the use of, that it may minister unto the hearers. Verse 30, next verse says, and grieve not, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Next verse. Next verse. Let all and be put away with. Come on, from the top. One more time. Verse 31 again. Verse 31 again. Get that verse. Get it in your spirit. Let all and be what, everybody? With all what? Ah, next verse says what? Next verse says, and be, how should we be? Tender-hearted, kind to one another, tender-hearted. What else? Even as hath forgiven us. Father God, bless your word now, and let it be educational, inspirational, directional for our lives. In Jesus' name, let everybody say amen. And amen. God bless you. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. For those who have their pocketbooks on the pew, we still have a few people that need to be seated. If you would take them down and just raise your hand, the ushers will seat people beside you. Your coats, if you could take your coats, put them onto the pew in front of you, that would be a great benefit. We all agree that nobody is perfect. Nobody is perfect. All of us have our little idiosyncrasies, our flaws, our shortcomings. The goal is to be honest with yourself about your stuff. The only way you're going to make any progress is when you're honest with yourself about your stuff. Some of us, our idiosyncrasy is procrastination. We put off for tomorrow the thing we need to get done today. Don't raise your hand, but you know I'm talking to you. We are perennial procrastinators. We are never ready. always late, always rushing. Can I get a witness? Then some of us are perennial pessimists. The glass is always half full or half empty instead of being half full. Half empty instead of half full. Some of us are happy-go-lucky folks. We have no stresses or strains in life, but we're not quite dependable either. If I tell you I'm going to be there at 11, it's going to be closer to 12. Can I get any witnesses out there? You just can't count on them. Some of us, we struggle with low self-esteem because of physical flaws that were accentuated by family members or friends or schoolmates when you were young. You grew up with this thing, this self-esteem thing that has impacted who you are today. And so sometimes when somebody says something and they don't mean anything by it, you are quickly, you talking to me? You talking to me? Not because of what they say necessarily, but because of the issues that you have carried, because of self-esteem. Come on, somebody. You know, you can wrestle with your complexion because somebody called you red as a child or black as a child. You know, in Jamaica, you know, they weren't polished. If you're dark skinned, I told you before, they called you black boy. If you're light skinned, they call you Reddy Buck Rabbit. If you're fat, they call you Fatty Boom Boom. If you're slim, they call you Marga. Anybody know what I'm talking about? They were uncouth. There was no delicacy. There was no delicateness in how you were handled. And so all of us, you know, especially if you grew up in that kind of environment, you grew up with idiosyncrasies, little things that you got to work around. My thing was my feet. So right now, I got to have good shoes. Look at somebody, tell them, you got to have good shoes. You got to have good shoes. They'll come on. I got to have nice shoes because that was my issue growing up. All of us have something. Everybody got something. Some of us overcompensate because of low self-esteem. We push to accomplish and be recognized because we're fighting against that voice in the back of our heads that always says, no, you're nobody. No, you can't do it. And so we push ourselves because the message we're giving ourselves is, oh yeah, watch me. Watch me. And so we determine I'm not just going to graduate from high school and college and grad school and do a PhD, but I'm going to do a PhD MDDD. Because you'll never say I'm stupid again. And so we overcompensate. Some of us are idiosyncrasies. We just talk too much. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Some of us just got to always be the one with all the answers. We always have to be the life of the party. The party doesn't start till I get here. Can I get a witness out there? And then, of course, the opposite is true. Others are always serious. So you get the guy who talks too much, who smiles too much, than the other person who just is always serious. They look like their dog just died. Every time you see them, look like they bought a new dog and the new dog just died. Just got that look on their face like they tasted something sour. And then, of course, some of us wonder, why are these people always happy? What you smiling for? Get on my nerves. Always happy, look like, you know, the sun is shining in your world. Get on my nerves. Every time I see you, you all upbeat and your hair is bouncing and behaving. Others of us, we are, stay with me on this. Others of us are extremely frugal. You know what I'm talking about? That's that person that squeezes everything out of the toothpaste. They roll it down, slide their finger up it, then they roll it back up. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Then they cut it open
and wipe the toothbrush against the toothpaste, because ain't nothing going in. I'm getting everything out of this. Every bit of this is coming out. Anybody know what I'm talking about? When that shampoo bottle is done, it ain't done. I'm putting some water on that bad boy. Shake that thing up. When the lotion is done, it ain't done. I'm putting some hot water on the lotion. And I'm shaking the bottle up. Then I'm mixing it with some Vaseline. I'm scrubbing that in my heel. Do I have any witnesses? Because you know you got ashy heels. Do I have just two people who know what I'm talking about today? All of us got our stuff. You're going to make that thing stretch. It's going to work. Frugal. Others of us are spendthrifts. Can't keep a dollar in your pocket. Come on, somebody. Every time you get some money, you're looking for ways to spend it. Come on. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And I always talk about, can you lend me $2? Can I hold $2? No! Then you wrestle with people who are people pleasers, you know, folks who got to always have the approval of other people. Your life is not the same unless you're pleasing people. You don't know how to stand on your own two feet. Come on, anybody know what I'm talking about? Go out on a limb trying to please somebody and it still is not enough. Anybody know what I'm talking about? They're still not happening. Sometimes you jeopardize your own well-being trying to please somebody, and they turn around and bite you. You know, back in the day when I was growing up, they used to say, sorry for Margadog, Margadog turn around, bite you. You know, sorry for a skinny dog. Let me translate. Sorry for a skinny dog. You try to feed a skinny dog, the skinny dog bites you. You're trying to feed him, trying to help him, and what does he do? Bite you. Somebody say you jump out of frying pan and right into the fire. Come on now. You've got to learn. All of us got to learn how to be comfortable with ourselves. Learn to be comfortable in a room by yourself. Come on now. And if I'm by myself, I'm happy. Come on now. And if you got a room full of people, be happy with that too. I'm comfortable in my own skin. And can I tell you this? Let me tell you. If you don't learn how to be happy by yourself, with yourself, you think another person, a man or woman, is going to make you happy, bad mistake. You've got to learn how to be happy by yourself, with yourself, for yourself. And it is not you making me happy, but when we get married, it's two happy people coming together to share a happy life. Stop depending on other people to make you happy. So, ladies and gentlemen, these idiosyncrasies, these character flaws, these weaknesses, these imperfections, all of us have them. Nobody is perfect. That's why we need amazing grace. Thank you, Jesus. Grace to help us grow in God. We are overcoming each and every day by His amazing grace, developing our character, maturing in Christ Jesus. Somebody ought to say amen. Every day with Jesus, I want to be just a little better than the day before. Paul says, I have not yet already attained. Come on now. But I'm getting a little better all the time. So when I'm talking about toxic people, I'm not talking about character flaws. I'm not talking about idiosyncrasies. I'm not talking about the little stuff that all of us are dealing with. I'm talking about a different level of conduct. I remember watching Judge Joe Brown a couple of years back, and a young lady was on the screen, and she was talking about a friend who bought her a cell phone, and she was saying, well, she bought me the phone and I expected that she was going to pay the bills. So the judge said, well, how long was she supposed to pay the bill? Well, we didn't talk about how long she was going to pay, but I mean, I didn't expect any end to it. It's just, so are you expecting her to not only buy your phone, but pay your cell phone bill on into perpetuity with no end in sight? Really? And now you have an attitude? You're in court because she's supposed to buy your phone and pay your cell phone bill until the day you die? Really? And she, ladies and gentlemen, had an attitude. Our text today really delves into a deeper level of behavior pattern that is poisonous in nature. It is toxic. And when we talk about toxicity, we're dealing with something that is poisonous. How many people know that there are people around you that if you allow them, they will poison your mind. They will poison your spirit. They'll poison your disposition. They will poison your life. Am I talking to anybody here today? Don't ever forget that even in the church, Jesus makes it very clear that in the church, the wheat and the tares must grow together until the day of harvest. So beside you, there's some tares. Maybe you are wheat. I hope you're not a tare. But the wheat and tares must grow together until the day of harvest. The challenge is you can't tell the difference between wheat and tares most of the time because they look so much alike. That's why Jesus says they got to grow together until the day of harvest. But here's the truth. There are folks in the church, folks on your job, folks in your family that will sap your energy, that will wear out your nerves, that will bring out the worst in you. There are folks you know where if you don't have enough Jesus, they'll make you. Toxic people. Let's be clear. The believer ought to be different. The person who has met Jesus Christ, there ought to be an aura and an aroma around you because Jesus makes you better. Come on. Jesus makes you sweeter. Can I get a witness? So if you've really met Jesus and allowed him to have his way in your life, every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. Jesus makes you more loving. Jesus makes you more kind. Jesus satisfies your soul. Come on now. Jesus moves that miserable, complaining, contentious bitterness. Come on, talk to me, somebody. That's what Paul is talking about in Ephesians. And that's what he talks about also in Colossians. Go to Colossians chapter 3. Let's look at Colossians chapter 3. And this is what he says. When he talks about being in Jesus Christ. Colossians chapter 3. He says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. You are dead. The old man is dead. The old way is dead. The old me is dead. I'm dead. And I've risen with Christ as a new creation. Can I get a witness, somebody? Here's the problem. Some of us don't want the old man dead. The old man died when you got baptized, but you're like, no, come on back. Get back up, old man. The old man is to be dead and buried. Ain't coming back. Buried with Christ in baptism. So verse 4, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall he also appear with him in glory. Mortify. Now, yes, the old man is dead, but Paul says you got to keep him dead. Mortify. You got to beat him down. Beat down. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. What members should I mortify? What should I beat down in my old self? Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For the which thing's sake, the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which you also walk sometime when you lived in them. In other words, Paul is saying, before you met Jesus, this is how you lived. But now that you met Jesus, and he's the center of your life, he's the center of your joy, all that stuff is dead, and I'm beating. If that old man tries to rise up again, I'm stomping on him in the name of Jesus. Somebody ought to say amen out there. He says, but now don't just deal with that overt stuff. Put off these also. Verse 8. Put off these also. What should I put off? Anger. Oh, come on, somebody. Put it off. Wrath. Come on now. Malice. What else? Blasphemy. What else? Filthy communication out of your mouth. Stop the cussing. Come on now. Verse 9. Stop the lying. Lie not to one another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deed. You put it off. You're mortifying it. You're beating it down because I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Toxic people. And could it be that some of us are walking around with a whole lot of bitterness, anger, malice, contentiousness that we don't intend to let go? Here's the issue. Because some of that stuff gives us power. Am I talking to anybody yet? Touch your neighbor. Tell him, don't sleep now. You need to hear this. Touch him right now. Tell him, don't sleep now. You need to hear this. Sometimes we hold on to this stuff because it gives us power. And the attitude, if they know that this is how I roll, then they ain't gonna mess with me. I'm gonna show them what's what. I'm gonna let them know that I'm the man. That I'm in charge and I'm not the one to be played with. But when you are a true believer, you don't have to fight your own battles. You got somebody that fights your battles for you. Come on, somebody. You got somebody who will make your enemies your footstool. If you trust God, can I get a witness, somebody? If you trust God and let him fight your battles, he'll put your enemies under your feet. You'll rise. Somebody talk to me out there. You'll rise up on the high places of the earth. You'll rise above your enemies. You don't have to let the old man rise up to handle this. Let Jesus handle your stuff. Let him fight your battles for you. Somebody ought to give him a praise. But when he fights, he wins. Toxic people everywhere. Everywhere you go, there are toxic people. On the job, you meet them. They come in late, leave early, take long two-hour lunches, and have an attitude if you're the supervisor, asking them where you've been. Don't be asking me no questions. Come on, you know what I'm talking about. They expect you to do their work, wonder why you get promoted over them even when you're doing their work. And punching the clock and doing what you need to do in a timely manner. They wonder, how you get a promotion? Well, I got a promotion because I'm doing my job. And the reason you didn't get a promotion because you ain't on yours. Can I get a witness, somebody? Folks on the job who you can't find them when there's work to be done. Negative tone. Complaining all the time. If you don't like the job, leave it. I didn't hear anybody say amen. See, as a believer, you ought to be the sweetest person on your job. If there's anybody on who ought to have a right attitude on the job, it ought to be the person that wears the name Christian. Because Christ is in you, you are always on display. You didn't hear me. You are always on display. Your job is to always show off for Jesus. As a matter of fact, the only reason you're on that job is to be a witness for Jesus. You ought to be light and salt on your job. Somebody ought to say amen out there. So if anybody ought to be lazy and shiftless and undependable, it ought never be the believer. Ha! Here's the problem with toxic people. Sometimes you try to help them, but if you're not careful, they'll drag you down. Am I talking to anybody here today? If you're not careful, they will borrow money from you and act like you owe them money. Walk in church, you say good mornings. And they owe you money. You didn't borrow money from them, they borrowed from you. Am I talking to anybody here today? Toxic people. Borrow your car, use up your gas, bring it back late on empty. Look at your face like, what the problem is? What the problem is? Toxic people. Got them in your families. They're the ones who never have money, hate you for having money, call you bougie because you went to college and live in a decent neighborhood. Come on. They will declare that you think you're better than everybody else because you finished high school before you married and got pregnant. Come on. Come on. Anybody know what I'm talking about? These are the people who pick on your kids because your kids are not fluent in Ebonics. Y'all talk like you white. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Wherever you go, you will have toxic people. Those of us here in church must ask ourselves. You got to ask yourself, Lord, am I a toxic person? Am I filled with bitterness and unforgiveness and miserable? Am I contentious? Am I growing? Am I learning? Am I being a better person? Or do I just come to church really not for Jesus to transform me, but to hang out with my friends? I can't find anything else to do on Sabbath morning, so I got to be in church. It's my old habit. And so when I come, I'm really not looking to grow and change and be better in Christ. But let me tell you this, ladies and gentlemen, our responsibility when we come to church, touch your neighbor, tell him, get up for this one. Our responsibility when we come to church is to receive what God has to say to us in order that we might be better people, in order that we may truly better represent Jesus Christ. Church is not a social club. This is not a hangout. And if you're coming and nothing is changing in you, then you got to assess and reevaluate, why am I here in the first place? I want to be better. I want to be a better man. Knowing Jesus ought to make me a better man. Somebody talk to me today. You ought to be a better woman. Knowing Jesus ought to make you a better woman, a sweeter person, a kinder person. Are y'all with me today? Better, not bitter. Everywhere you go, you'll find some. Here's a question. Here's a series of questions that I want you to ask yourself. Am I negative? Am I negative? Do I speak negatively consistently? Am I malicious, vindictive? If you get me, I'm going to get you back. Come on. Am I bitter, angry, critical, intimidating, complaining, argumentative? I said argumentative. I did say argumentative. Unforgiving, contentious. When people leave my presence, are they tired? Do they feel like they've been in a washing machine? Oh, Lord. You just drain my brain. Every time I come around you, you drain my brain. You just stress me out. Come on, my blood pressure rises when I... Am I talking to anybody here today? You ever deal with people like that? Somebody say, Lord, help me not to be that person. Come on. Lord, help me not to be that person. Come talk to the pastor. Pastor, I need to talk to you. Sit down and be talk. I said, well, sis, what I need you to do, or brother, you know, think about these three or four things that I want you to do. Next week, pastor, can I talk to you? Well, did you do any of the things that I suggested? Well, no, pastor, but I still need to talk to you. Well, okay, let's sit down, let's talk, let's pray, all right? Next week, pastor, can we talk again? Well, did you do anything that I told you to do? Anything that we prayed about? Did you do anything at all? Did you change anything? What? I mean, anything. No, pastor. So there are some people who don't want to do right. I'm talking to somebody here. They just want to complain and whine and gripe and bellyache. But no matter what you tell them, they're not going to do it. Am I talking to anybody here today? And sometimes you just want to say, just shh. Am I telling the truth? You just want to say, stop it. Driving me out of my natural born mind. Don't want to do right. You're just looking for a sounding board to bellyache. Somebody to empathize with your foolishness. Even though the person tells you right, you have no desire or intent to do right. Ooh, toxic people. So, how do I know if I'm a toxic person, Pastor? Well, I ask you, when people leave your presence, are they tired? Do they need spiritual and mental resuscitation when they leave you? How do I know if I'm toxic, Pastor? Do you always have drama around your life? Oh, Lord. Look at somebody and say, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. The Lord. Is there always drama around your life? Are you in a state of perpetual crisis? You just migrate from one to the next. Come on now. Are you often in financial crisis? Can you lend me $2, Pastor? Here's one Here's one that I want you to think about. How do I know if I'm a toxic person? How many bounce checks have you written in the last 2 months? And how many did you write for your tithe and offerings? That has always blown my mind. I don't know how you're going to write God a bounce check. Let me come talk to the microphone stands over here. Microphone stands, it's me and you right now. Guys, how many? I got six of y'all. Oh, we good. The microphone stands are saying amen. We good. How do you write bounce checks to God? That's always blown my mind. As a church, we pay like a couple of thousand dollars a year. A couple of thousand dollars a year for bounce check fees. I mean, thousands. That's always, I'm like, wow, what? I'm too scared of God to write him a bounce check. If you don't have it, wait till you get it. Can I get a witness, somebody? Matter of fact, it should never be that God gets a bounce check. Shouldn't be that anybody gets a bounce check. Writing bounce checks is the dumbest thing you could ever do. That's like giving away $35. What you do with $35? Every time you write a bounce check, you gotta pay $35 for the bounce check fee. You gotta be out your mind. You do that 10 times, you know how many nice shoes you can get for $350? You do that 10 times at $350, $35 a pop. You can get some good shoes. You're just throwing the money away. But that's not my sermon. Let me come back to my sermon. What the bounce checks have you written? The questions you ask yourself to ask if you're a toxic person. How many people have you had a falling out with? How many people do you have issues with? Am I a toxic person? How many people are you not speaking to? You walk past them, I ain't even seen. We don't speak. And there are people, watch this, there are people in the church who have the temerity in the name of Jesus to tell you boldly, we don't speak. I don't speak to them. They don't speak to me. That's why I sit over on the right and they sit on the left. And we're going to the same heaven. And Peter see me, he going to say, come on up. Really? You're going to a place, but it ain't heaven. It's not heaven. So, how do you handle toxic people? Three things, and then I'm out your way. Three things. Here, number one, assist. Number two, establish boundaries. ABC of handling toxic people. Assist, boundaries. C, commit them to Christ. Three things. I'm out your way. Assist. How do you assist? Be encouraging. Be encouraging. Proverbs 12:25. Heaven is in the heart of a man, maketh it stoop. But a good word maketh it glad. So heaviness gonna bring you down. But a good word builds you up. Can I get a witness, somebody? Proverbs 16:24. Pleasant words are as honeycomb, sweet to the soul, health to the bones. Oh my God. So you assist by being encouraging. Somebody say encourage. The second thing you assist by doing, assist by empathizing with their pain. Galatians 6:1-2. Brethren, if any man is overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness. Consider thyself, lest thou be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Never forget, hear me. Never forget that the church is still a hospital for sinners. Three kinds of people in the church: those who have been through a crisis, those who are going through a crisis, those who are getting ready to go through a crisis. Everybody will have their turn at problems. We need each other. Don't turn up your nose as somebody who is going through stuff that has brought them a state of bitterness. Ladies and gentlemen, but I also want you to understand, it's not necessarily what you have been through that will make you toxic, but how you handle what you have been through. Come on, somebody. It's not what you've been through. There are women who have been through divorce, but instead of coming out bitter, they decide, when I come out, I'm going to establish a divorce recovery group, and that's going to be my ministry. Listening to a story about these women who were in Rwanda, and they were in a toilet that was about a 12 by 12 space. They stayed in that toilet for 3 months, standing up, 20 people, 12 by 12. They would have to squeeze to get inside. How did they sleep? They slept standing up. Y'all not listening to me? Oh, God. When I think about people who have been through stuff like that, and when they come out of it, they come out strong and powerful, and they can tell you about real forgiveness. Not going to hold grudges. Not going to look for revenge. How do I assist people who are going through stuff? Assist them by challenging them to change, to think differently. It's imperative that they think differently. How else can I help them? By referring them to somebody who can help them, pointing them off or passing them off to a psychologist, referring them to a pastor. How do I help them, pastor? How do I assist them? By loving them. Knowledge puffs up, but love covers a multitude of sins. We got to love on people. How do I assist them, pastor? By modeling a grace-filled life. Show them by your willingness to let stuff go what it means to live a life of forgiveness and mental clarity and good posture and a good attitude. Model that for them. That's how you assist them. So A is for assisting people. B is for setting boundaries. How do I deal with toxic people? Not only should you assist them, but you got to set boundaries. What do you mean, pastor? Set financial boundaries. What do you mean, pastor? Break it down for me. You know somebody is prone to not giving you your money back. Do I have two witnesses out there? If you're going to give them money, give it to them. Come on, somebody. Somebody ought to say amen. If they need money and you can give it, give it. Do not lend them money. Because the first time you lend it, you didn't get it back. What make you think you're going to get it back the second or third or fourth time? And all you're doing is raising your blood pressure. Can I get a witness, somebody? You're just raising your blood pressure because they didn't give it back before. Let it go. Let it go. Set financial boundaries. Come on now. Set communication boundaries. We're talking about boundaries. You got to have boundaries where you say, well, you know what? I'm not going to be able to do that right now. And stop being a people pleaser. Girl, I love you. You know, I love you so much. You're my baby. But I can't help you with that right now. I pray for you, though. Can I get a witness out there? And you stop right there and pray with him. Girl, I got to go. You got to set communication boundaries because they want to call you and talk to you about the same thing 50 million times at 1 o'clock in the morning. And nothing that you've recommended, they have followed up on. Oh, come on, talk to me, somebody. You've got to set boundaries in what you allow them to say to you. They'll put you on guilt trip, set your boundaries. Make you feel bad, set your boundaries. Don't go arguing back and forth. Girl, I love you. I got to go. Come on. Can I get a witness, somebody? You got to go. Set your boundaries. Stick to the plan. You've got to set communication boundaries. You've got to set emotional boundaries. Your level of attachment to them and the issues that they got can drain you emotionally. So you've got to learn how to cut it off emotionally so that you are not entrenched and enmeshed and dragged into the mire with them. Talk to me. You've got to learn how to say, I'm good. Did you call the pastor yet? No, well, I didn't call the pastor. Did you call the psychologist I gave it? Well, no, I didn't. Well, girl, I got to go. Bro, I got to go. No time for the drama. Do everything you can to refocus that conversation towards their healing. If you don't do that, they will depress you. Come on. They'll distress you, they'll dampen you, and eventually they'll destroy you. You must be able to ask the critical questions. Listen, how are you dealing with that? How are you processing that? What has God taught you about that? How are you moving forward? Who did you talk to? Ask them a series of questions that will help them to refocus their attention. Are you still with me, everybody? So, ABCs of dealing with toxic people. Number A is assist them. B is boundaries. Boundaries. Finally, commend them to Christ. Because the fact is, some people are so deep in stuff, you can't help them. I didn't hear you say amen. Mental health professional may be able to help them. As a matter of fact, some folks just need medication. But that's a whole nother sermon. Sometimes you just got to commend them to Jesus. Because where human beings fail and fall short, Jesus can help. Pray for them. Bible says pray for one another. Pray with them. But here's the deal. Sometimes you just got to cut them off and keep praying for them. Because I did say that? Sometimes you just got to cut them off. Well, thank God for call ID. You rushing to work. You got 15 minutes to get dressed and they calling you. And you know the conversation they get ready to have is at least 45 minutes. I didn't hear you say amen. Pray for them. Turn them over to Jesus. Let Jesus handle it. Because Jesus can turn darkness to light. In the beginning there was nothing but darkness. But Jesus said, let there be light. And there was light. Point them to Jesus. He can turn their sorrow into joy. Point them to Jesus. He can turn their turmoil into peace. Point them to Jesus. He can turn their pain into praise. Point them to Jesus. He can turn your clouds into sunshine. Point them to Jesus. He can turn your mud into a miracle. Point them to Jesus. He can turn your madness into ministry. Point them to Jesus. He can turn your story into a song. Point them to Jesus. He can turn your burdens into a blessing. Point them to Jesus. He can turn your test into a testimony. Point them to Jesus. He can turn your misery into a faded memory. Point them to Jesus. He can turn your fear into favor. Point them to Jesus. He can turn your storm into a shout. Point them to Jesus. He can turn your weeping into worship. Point them to Jesus. He can turn your limping into leaping. You've got to point them to Jesus. For sometimes what the doctor can't do and you can't do and medicine can't do, Jesus can perform a miracle and turn. Somebody knows what I'm talking about. He can turn that life around. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. He's able. I said he's able. I said he's able. There's still nothing too hard for the Lord. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. There's some people who are so messed up, been through so much, it takes a miracle. But I'm so glad that Jesus is still in the miracle working business. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Is there anybody here today who just want to stand on their feet and say, Lord, I need a miracle in my life. I need a blessing in my life. I need a breakthrough in my life. Lord, I need you to turn things around. I need you to set me straight. I need you to lead me in the right direction. Help me to forgive people who have hurt me. God, give me blessings where there was bitterness. Lord, give me strength where there was weakness. I want to be the child that you desire for me to be. I want to be an agent for the kingdom, an ambassador of righteousness. I want to represent Christ on the earth. Somebody ought to say hallelujah. I want to represent Christ on the earth. I want to do God's will. And I want to be better, never bitter. In Jesus' name. Father God, we stand here today. Because the truth of the matter is, while we have preached about handling toxic people, some of us are toxic ourselves. And we need your release. We need your emancipation. We need your freedom, God. We need you to change our direction.
Oh, God, help us, Lord. Some of us have negative outlooks, negative expectation, negative conversation because of all the negatives that have happened to us. Seems like a torrent of negativity. But God, we break the cycle today in the name of Jesus, and we claim the blessings of heaven over our lives. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that what nobody else can do, Jesus, you can do by your miracle working power. You said, a new heart also will I give you, and I will take away your stony heart, and I will put within you a heart of flesh. Do that miracle, Lord. Work supernaturally on behalf of your children. We stand today with arms stretched out, willing minds and spirit. God, have your way, we pray. While we're still praying, I got to give somebody a chance who just wants to say, Pastor, I want to surrender my life to Jesus today. I've been trying things on my own for a while, but after hearing this message, I want to commit my life to Jesus Christ. If you want to make a decision to commit your life to Jesus Christ today, wherever you are right now, just raise your hand. Just raise your hand high. You want to make a decision for Christ. I see your hand. I see your hand. You want to come down here and take my hand? Come down. Take my hand. Come on, young fella. God bless you. Somebody else who wants to commit their lives to Jesus Christ, just raise your hand right now. Or walk down the aisle. Take my hand. I want to pray over you. I want to pray over you. God bless you. God bless you. Praise God. Somebody else who just wants to come. You just want to come and say, Pastor, I want to commit myself to Christ right now. I want to make a decision to follow him. I want you to come. Just raise your hand. Where are you, child of God? Where are you? Where are you? Where are you? Where are you? Raise your hand. Or walk down the aisle. Come take my hand. Let me pray for you. Let me bless you. Let me pray over you. Let's see what God will do. God wants to do something for you right now. Today's your day. If you don't want to come, you just want to raise your hand, the elders will come to you. Just raise your hand where you are. Just raise it. If you don't want to come, just raise your hand. Or as the elder comes by, elders walk down the aisle. Bible workers walk down the aisle. But your arms extended, looking for souls, looking for souls, looking for somebody today who just looks like they need to make a decision. You know you need to make a decision for Christ. Today's your day. Just raise your hand right now. Raise your hand. Where are you, child of God? Where are you, child of God? I want to pray for you. I want to pray with you in Jesus' name. Let go. Let God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Make me over again. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Lord, make me over. Lord, hallelujah. God bless you. God bless you. Somebody else. Lord, make me over. I'm going to pray in just a minute. But I want to give somebody a chance to come. God bless you, baby. God bless you, my sister. I'm going to pray for you in just a minute. Those who have come, I'm going to pronounce a special prayer and blessing over them. You know you need to come. Come now. Come now. Make me over again, Lord. Hallelujah. This is your time. Here we go. Father God, we thank you for blessing us, for speaking to our lives, for giving us hope, O Lord, for helping us to examine our own minds and hearts to see whether or not there is poison in our system. We all deal with the poison of sin. But bitterness, hatred, malice, anger, stuff that poisons our environment, that poisons our minds and our bodies, that we pass off on our children and grandchildren, so that toxicity becomes a generational curse. God, you know that there are people in all of our families that we really can't be around too much because of the stuff, the hatred, the venom. Today, in the name of Jesus, we pray for healing. We pray for deliverance. We pray for freedom. We pray for emancipation. God, we pray that you will set the captives free in the name of Jesus. Thank you for these who have come, God, who have walked down front. I pronounce a blessing over them now in the name of Jesus. Bless them in their rising up, in their sitting down, in their going out, in their coming in. Bless them, God, I pray, in the name of Jesus. Let everybody say amen and amen and amen. To you who have come down front, I want you, Sister Lenora, Brother Hutchinson, I want you to follow this man right here behind you. I want you to follow him right now. We want to get your information. We want to keep you on our prayer list. We want to love you and encourage you and be a blessing to you. So follow Brother Hutchinson right now. Please go. Please follow Brother Hutchinson right now. God bless you. Lord, make me over. Oh, Lord, make me over. Lord, make me over. Make me over. Make me over, Lord. Make me over. Make me over again. Please, Lord, make me over. Make me over again. Hallelujah. This time, the one designated to lift the tithe and offering will come now for that purpose. Please, remember, if your first, second time guests, fill out the communication card, turn it in to the offering plate. Everybody, as a matter of fact, it's imperative to fill out that communication card and turn that in to the offering basket. Those who are first time guests, you will get a gift from me in the mail. So you do want to fill out all that information completely. Thank you and God bless you.